This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please. To visit our websites, they are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org.
Oh, many of the people that I meet have come out of various churches, but most predominantly out of the Worldwide Church of God. And that being the case, there is a long and a lingering situation that people go through concerning Worldwide Church of God, because it really leaves an impact upon people, doesn't it? Did Worldwide Church of God leave an impact with you? Did it impact your life, whether for good or bad? Still impacted your life, didn't it? Okay? So, in connection with that, I couldn't figure out exactly what I should entitle this sermon. My first title that I wrote down, I called The Sleight of Hand. The second title I wrote down was, What Do You Think Of When You Think of a Church of God? Now, I want to cover some very basic things, because what happens to people in Worldwide, which also happened to us, is very, very subtle and very, very damaging. And it leaves people with wounds upon their souls, unfortunately. So let's go to Matthew, the 16th chapter, and let's look at the very basic scripture here concerning the Church of God. Because the question will come up, how does Jesus, or how does God, view the Church of God? Okay? Now, all of these scriptures that I am going to cover have been covered as points of authority in the Worldwide Church of God. Okay? Matthew 16 and verse 18. Now, I'm not going to go through all the technicalities on this, but I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. We know the rock there refers to Christ. We know that Jesus said, I will build my church. The ones that are Jesus's are called by Jesus, my sheep, my brethren. I want to emphasize Jesus saying, mine. Okay? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, that could be there, hell, not referring to the place of ever burning, but hell from the Greek word Hades, meaning the grave. In other words, it would not die out. Okay? That's fine. And we're all told, which we were dutifully told in Worldwide, that this means that the church belongs to whom? To Christ. And that Christ is the head of the church. Correct. We all have that. Okay, now let's go to Matthew 28 and verses 19 and 20, and we're talking about baptism. Now, baptism is the key initiation, being baptized into Christ, again, into Christ. Okay, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, or the end of that age. Now is the church age. The church age will come to a close. The church age closes when? At the first resurrection. Then we start the kingdom age, don't we? After the seven last plagues, the kingdom age starts. Well, actually, it starts with the seven last plagues, because those come from the kingdom of heaven as it's on its way to the earth. Okay? Now, we are told here that when we are baptized, let's go to Acts 2 and verse 38, because this is another basic scripture, and what I'm going to tell you and what you heard was absolutely correct. Okay, Acts 2 and verse 38, and you probably all know this by heart, every one of you, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay, everything's fine. Who does the Holy Spirit come from? The Holy Spirit comes from God the Father, correct? Yes, we all know that. All the very basic, right? Now, we're told also that the church is what? The church is the bride of Christ, that is correct, and what else? The church is the mother of us all, that's correct. Okay. What is another thing concerning the church? It is the body. And the body of Christ, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, that's correct. But what are we told about this body? What are we told about this body? All different churches. Okay. We are told that all of the churches in the world could not be the body of Christ. Aren't we told that in worldwide? Yes. Generally, that is a true statement. Okay. That's why I first named this the sleight of hand. Okay. Now, 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And let's pick it up here. Let's pick it up in verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit of God, from God the Father, we're all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Gentile, whether we be free or bond, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So far, so good. We are told that the Church of God is a spiritual organization. Is that not correct? Isn't that what we are told? Likened to the body of Christ, and Christ is the head of the church. Correct? So far, so good. Now, when a person is baptized, and this is the way that they're baptized, whatever your name is, because you have repented of your sins, which are the transgressions of God's holy and righteous and perfect law, and because you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master, and your high priest in heaven right now, and your soon coming king in the world tomorrow, I baptize you not into, listen carefully, any sect or denomination of this world. Some even say any organization of men. But into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins. Amen. And then cold water comes over all of you. Then you're raised out of that watery grave, have hands laid on you, prayed over with the laying on of hands to receive of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Fine and good. Now, then, what happens? Now, then, what happens with the sleight of hand? Then we are introduced to the government of God, correct? First sleight of hand. Church authority, another sleight of hand. Okay. And we are told that the ministers have rule over your lives. And then what else happens? Then the rule becomes more and more and more. Isn't that correct? Okay. Then what else happened, and why is it so hard for people to get their lives adjusted if they leave the worldwide Church of God? Partly they've been thinking for them, okay? But it runs deeper than that. Now you're getting close. Lose salvation. What is taking it? Now, I've mentioned this before, but I've never really went through it step by step this way. Because we're originally told that the church is a spiritual organism. There can be even people sitting in the worldwide church of God without the Spirit of God, and they are not a part of God's church. Isn't that what has been said? Yes. Okay. So even though you're sitting there in the congregation of the worldwide church of God, you must have the Holy Spirit of God, and you are in the church of God. Okay. Then we're introduced to church government. We have rule over us. Then we found out that there was an apostle, and then the apostle. And the government of God meant, and that, why is that a sleight of hand? Why is that statement, the ministry is the government of God? Why is that a sleight of hand? Is the government of God. Why is that a sleight of hand? Twist things to their own use, that's correct. Okay. Why is that a sleight of hand? The ministry is not the government of God. Pardon? That's correct. It's supposed to be the servant of the people. They are not the government of God. Okay. What is the government of God? The government of God is the rule of God in our own lives, but it's also going to be the rule of Christ through the kingdom of God on the earth. What did they take to themselves, which then devastated so many people? Because someone asked me the question, how many people do you think have left Worldwide Church of God, ministers and members? And I said, well, I would just make a guess that probably the same number that are there now is about the same number that have left, just from what I understand of it. Okay. So that becomes very, very devastating, because then what do they take to themselves when they say that? They take God's authority to themselves. So therefore they what? With that very act, they supplant God. Think about it. They may not really fully comprehend what they are doing. Then when you do that, what do you take advantage of that each individual has done for God? What is it that each one of you have said to God yourself? Right. He will rule our lives. In other words, we are dedicated to God. Correct? The next sleight of hand is transferring that love and loyalty and faith that we exhibit and give to God to then transfer that to men. That's the next sleight of hand. Then it begins breaking Luke 22. Well, let's go to Luke 22. We've covered this before, but not exactly in this same context. And you know where I'm going, Luke 22 and verse 24. And there was also strife among them, Luke 22 and verse 24. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. And isn't that what the ministers were called, is they leveraged this authority over you? Because what happens? Christ does not want the love and the dedication and the faith and the loyalty that you give to God and to Christ. He does not want that leveraged to a man. Why? Why does God not want that leveraged to another man? Because they worship the men and you can't trust any man So we're almost got it here. We're getting right to the center of the bullseye. Why is it that God does not want people to leverage that love and that faith and that loyalty and that dedication that you give to God? Why does God not want that leverage to another man? It takes God's place, and when it takes God's place, what happens?
Then you become a pope.
You serve man and you become a pope. That's correct. Both of those are correct. But it is even much more fundamental than that. See? And didn't we have authority exercised over us? And we were told these are our benefactors? That's why it is so devastating to the people who have committed themselves to God to have this then leveraged subtly into the hands of man to be used. Two things. You look to the man instead of God, and they can't forgive sin. Something even much more fundamental than that is the reason why God does not want that done, and why that becomes a tremendous sin against the people and against God. Let's go to...
Have no gods before me.
Now you're getting close. Have no other gods before me. How have no other gods before me? Let's go to Mark 12. Correct.
He
is a jealous God. That's correct. That is correct. Just like the jealousy of a marriage, right? Yes. Only, woo, much more so. Yes. Because what does God want from you to him? Right here. Okay? Mark 12 and verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And this is the most basic scripture of all, right? And with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. When a human being then leverages that to another human being, they are causing you to love God less, because they have diverted what belongs to God to themselves. Now, it never really crystallized in my mind that way until having made this latest trip back east. Okay?
Well, I think it's God.
The vanity of the ministers get involved. Their authority that they exercise upon people. Then they assume to themselves other things. Now, then let's take this another step further. Okay? Once that is done, and you accept that, you let someone take part of your Mark 12:30 away from God and take it to themselves, then what happens? That's correct.
First thing we do,
got it, absolutely.
First thing we do in the world, let's get organized. We've got a business. We've got to have books. We've got to have somebody in charge.
Correct. Absolutely. You know exactly where I'm going. Okay? Correct. Absolutely. Because God does not want any authority in his salvation for you but his, because he called you. Christ died for you. He doesn't want anything interfering with that love. Nothing, period. Okay? Now, when you give that to men, then what happens when men get it? Then they organize it. And this became very clear at my Century 21 franchise. I mean, it was almost like a ministerial conference that I have attended in form. Believe it or not. And we have all of you here, and then we have the region, and then we have the national, and then we have the international, which is all fine for a corporation. And it was sitting there in the middle of it. Bam! All of it became crystal clear that through the use of the organization of a modern corporation, they have taken to that corporation the prerogatives and loyalty and love of God that should go to God. Hence, then, they become corrupt, because God is not going to let anyone take that from him without some kind of penalty somewhere. So, what happens then? What happens if a person says, "Boy, you know, you're the only one preaching the truth in the world." Oh, yes, I discovered that in 1927 in the library when I was studying for 6 months. Not true. The gospel has not been preached for 1900 years. Not true. There is only one church on the face of the earth. A true statement. This worldwide church of God is the church of God. False statement. It may be a church of God, but not the church of God. If you leave this church, you leave God. A true statement, if you leave the church of the God, hence you leave God the Father in Christ. However, again, the prerogative of God has been leveraged to the corporation. You see? Subtle, isn't it? Isn't it subtle? If you leave the worldwide church of God, you have left God. That's why I couldn't figure out whether to name this a sleight of the hand or when you think of a church, what do you think of? And that's where they have the fear of the church replaces the fear and love of God, and you have an idol called a corporation. And it dawned on me sitting there listening to the Century 21 seminars and all the things, and I said to myself, I have heard this before. For a corporation, for a business, to do a business, fine. That's fine for corporate business things. But even though they had meetings on Sabbath, I did not go because that was not their day to make me come and sit there. It's God's day. Unfortunately, I was sick. I still didn't go. And I won't. Okay? But can you see what happens when they leverage that to an organization? Now then, people are fearful. That's correct. Then with the exercise of control, exercise of authority over you, they take away your freedom of thought. Now what is said when you have this authority? You should not criticize the ministry. Even if it is wrong. Your only duty is to pray and to pay. And if you do not pay, thou shalt not pray. I add a little sarcastically. Okay? See how all that gets built up in there? Everything gets built up in there? Should we not, brethren, when we bring an offering to God or we bring a tithe to God, should it not be from the heart, though God says to bring it? Okay? That's why, since we've been with our little group, I say nothing about anything concerning that because we have been so merchandised over it in the past that it is, you know, nauseam to hear. And if it were not for the brethren who have helped me, my family would not still be intact, and we would not even be in California. We'd have to be long gone someplace else. Because when I got the royal dump at 49, you don't go out and have, broken down preachers rehired by different people in the world because they think you're one of these shouting, yelling, jumping, leaping, screaming, bless the Lord kind of persons, you know. And I'm still praying, and I think God is beginning to move it in that direction now where I can have an independent income, and then I can say, look, I no longer need this, but let's use it for something else now, okay? And I can begin to see that day coming, and I hope that it will, and that's fine. Then we can do it for all kinds of other things, what we need to do. But in the meantime, it has sustained our family, and it has been absolutely unbelievable the way that God has intervened to make things work and stretch and get it to the point that it needs to be. So thank every one of you on that and all the part that you have done. And I know that you view it as giving it to God, and I understand that because God commands it, and I've tried to use everything in a way that would be proper. I've had to use almost all of it just to sustain our flesh in the way that the world is. I mean, so anyway, enough said there. But when it gets to that point, when it gets to that point that all of these things are leveraged and they become the focal point of what is being done, they take to themselves the prerogatives of God. Yes. Oh, good. I need to mention that. And Herbert Armstrong told anyone that if they said anything against headquarters or anything against the ministers or against the government of God, then you were saying it against God. So that absolutely unequivocally proves that they put themselves in God's place. Right? Is any man above criticism? I mean, come on. No. Should there have to be all kinds of criticism to the ministry? Let's go back and let's talk about the thing concerning can there be carnal criticism of a minister? Can there be just nitpicking against the minister? Sure, I've suffered all that. Yeah, I've had that. I've had people land on me for things that should not have been when I wasn't sinning at all. Well, what if a minister sins? Is that just to go on and on and on and nothing ever taken care of? Of course not. Of course not. You see. So that absolutely proves how they really did set themselves at that level, you know, that if you criticize this, you are criticizing God because God has done this when God did not do that. See? God did not do that. But this is what holds the people in the worldwide Church of God in such absolute fear. And you fear the minister. And you fear leaving the church. And you can't trust yourself and you can't trust God. Comment was made that when she left, people would call on the phone and say, "You have lost salvation." It did it again. I get that thing clean. Comment was made that people would call her when she left worldwide and say that you have lost salvation. If you're going to be in the kingdom of God, you're going to go through the tribulation. And isn't that why people are called? Notice, why are people called to the worldwide Church of God? Think very carefully, because that also is subtle. Why are people called to the worldwide Church of God? God is doing the calling. Okay? For those who truly repent, understand the truth, and want to love God, and want to keep His commandments, and want salvation. But what is the main appeal that is given? Anybody? The tribulation. What is one of the major articles? There is a way of escape. Now, if you believe that, which is true, and there is a way of escape. Do people want to save their own skins? Yes, certainly. So when you are told there is a way of escape, and it's going to be just like Lebanon, and no one's going to make it, do you want to escape? Sure you want to escape. And you come into the church, and one of the first sermons that really captures your imagination is Luke 21, where it says, "Pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things." And then the minister gives a detailed sermon on a place of safety. Correct? Yes. And that place of safety will be in Petra.
right now. Now, it may be at Petra. Question, though, is anyone going to get there that God doesn't want to get there? No. Okay? So if it is Petra, okay, that's fine. I won't argue with that. But what is the next sleight of hand that takes place? If you leave this corporate structure, you are not going to escape. Another thing was, oh, Mr. Armstrong is negotiating to buy 747 so we can fly over to Jordan and then ride the camels out to Petra. And we all sat there and said, yeah. Right? Now there's another hook into you, you see? See how subtly these things took place? Another one, the way to solve your financial problems is to tithe. First, second, third, and everything else attached to it. Okay? They didn't understand tithing. That does not balance with the statement that says you're going to suffer for Christ. So in a sense, the way that was preached was to the effect that if you tithed to the church and gave abundance, you could buy what? What could you buy? Salvation. See? They didn't put it in those words. But if you didn't tithe, and if you didn't give all you could, you sure wouldn't be there. Okay? Now, you see how all of those things... Now, we can sit and kind of laugh at it now. But there are some people who are very, very locked into it, and they are so locked into it that they are fearful. How dangerous does this situation get? Gerald Waterhouse said, and I heard it on tape, he said, brethren, and you know how he would speak, and after 3 hours of brow beating, maybe 3.5 or 4, and if you nodded your head down, you would be corrected from the stage. I remember when Gerald Waterhouse came out to Boise, and we were in a hot summer evening. No air conditioning, see? So we were meeting in the YMCA, and the windows were open, okay? So he's going along, preaching along, and, you know, and everything. And so there's the screech of tires, screech of more tires, and smash, clamp. There's a wreck right outside the window. What is the natural reaction going to be? Everyone, turn your head. And he said, how dare you? This is more important than that wreck out there. You listen to what I have to say. Don't any of you look out there. Not any concern. Maybe someone was hurt. Maybe we could have gone out there and helped it. You know, whatever, see? And everyone said, I got, you know, just fearful, eyes wide open. And he told the brethren, he said, brethren, with all this church trouble we've been having, I want to tell you that Mr. Armstrong may be 95% wrong, and you be 95% right, but God is going to uphold Mr. Armstrong and not you. Now, what does that do to truth? Destroys it right out the window. That is correct. So you see the problems that happen when these subtleties are leveraged. See? See what happens? Very, very clever. So subtle, you don't even know. And then people wonder, well, they have to love God. They better attend church. And if they don't, they'll get a phone call. Where have you been? What have you been doing? And some people have been so activityized that they had activities every day. You know, sports on Sunday, Bible study on Wednesday, Sabbath services. Then they had Spokesman's Club one day of the week, and then they had something else. It was 7 days a week, the whole round and round and round. And I imagine that was the same with and especially if you were a deacon or something, then you had all kinds of meetings to attend to. And if you didn't attend church, there was a little attendance thing secretly taken, sometimes not so secretly taken, to where they would know whether you were there or not. So then people get all fearful. Then they end up being in the Church of God, which is supposed to be held together. How is the Church of God supposed to be held together? By love. Being knit together in love, they are held together by authority and fear in the church of God. And then one day it dawns on you, why am I so miserable in this thing, God? I mean, did any of you get the feeling that way? Yes. Because they left off the love of God and they violated the very first commandment to begin with, so subtly. So subtly. So therefore, I can now answer the question. Remember I made the statement? If we were to organize, I don't know how we would organize. Remember I made that statement? Okay. I think I can answer the question now. Whatever the organization structure needs to be, to do the physical parts of whatever needs to be done in doing whatever we need to do, be it to find a room, to find a hall, to print, to distribute, to mail, to whatever, okay? The organization should never what? Now, you all know the answer. Take away from the love of God. Should never have it structured so that you leverage the prerogatives of God to the corporation or to an individual. Now, suppose you have a department where someone needs to be proficient in doing something. If they are not proficient in doing something, they should be released from that position and have not put it on a do or die situation to where you're working here and God's working. God has chosen you for this and you better do the, oh yes, and this, you know, and then they finally had a problem at Ambassador College that now not everyone that went there was taken into the work or to the ministry. Now you were a dirty dog and an outcast because that had been so pounded into everybody's minds, right? Okay? Then you saw some of these poor graduates come out from Pasadena and they look like whipped dogs. I mean, people with good ability. Okay? Because it was put on entirely the wrong level. Entirely the wrong level. They put it on the level of salvation in God when it may have just been on the level of doing a job. See? Entirely different. So whatever the organization needs to be, it needs to be to get whatever done needs to be done, but never supplant the love of God. That much I now know, and it really has crystallized in my mind. That is what needs to be. Now let's go to the example of biblical. When we went through and set up that constitution and bylaws, we signed our death warrant, a very rapid one, because we didn't learn anything out of world. We didn't learn this lesson we just covered now out of worldwide. So it was a rather short term because we didn't learn that. We started out that way, loving God and all of that and doing what we should. But when we organized to the point that the corporation and the structure of it took away from loving and serving God, it went down the tubes very rapidly, even much more so than worldwide, because it was smaller, but also the men on the committees, instead of having a dictatorship by one, now it was a dictatorship by committee, and they sat in the seat of God, and they then made the judgments, not only of what was they considered right or wrong, but on whether your heart was right with God or not. Who knows whose heart is right with God? God does. God does. How would you like it if you repented your absolute insides totally out, your mind, your heart, and everything, and said, I repent for my very existence, okay? And then told, we do not accept that. See? Boy, you talk about sitting in the seat of God. No way. No way. Was doomed for destruction the day that we did that. Absolutely. How did it get started that way? Well, I think it is because as human beings, we instead of seeking what we just covered here now, and look how long it's been since before the lesson is truly learned. I mean, in a clear, definitive way. And we learn different lessons going along, but I mean, in a clear, defined way. The reason is the greatest mistake that is ever made is that since there were problems in worldwide, the problem was structure. So if we change the structure, we will eliminate the problems. However, structure in an organization does not change human nature. That's the biggest problem. Can't change the problems worldwide by changing to another structure. The only way you can solve the problems of worldwide is to get back to the first commandment of loving God and then structure everything to that.
The comment was made that as long as you're following God in the same way as long as Herbert Armstrong was following God, things went along the way that they should have. But it became a movement. And when you have a movement, then you are doing a work for God rather than God having you do a work for him. It's a different situation. Same way in biblical. That then became a movement in as much as then we were wanting to do a work for God rather than letting God show us what the work should have been that we should have been doing, and we used our own devices and our own thoughts, so therefore it was doomed to destruction. I'm thankful God did not destroy us physically. I mean, thank you for the mercy of God that we can exist. But it is true, when you have a movement, then you have a monument, and when you have a monument, you chisel it in stone. Okay, good comment all the way through there, yes. So, right. So I think now we have the first crystal clear route as to what God wants us to do. Okay? And don't create anything of your own devising that keeps people from loving God. That is the key. Therefore, then, everything can be structured and whatever the task needs to be done, but then don't make the task a matter of salvation. Because is typing a matter of salvation? No. Is writing a matter of salvation? No. Is where you live a matter of salvation? No. Is what your job is a matter of salvation? No, as long as you're loving God and keeping his commandments. I mean, what if you're a garbage man? So what? Maybe they have more peace of mind than anybody. They get used to the smell and the dirt, and they see it, and they get on the back of this truck and throw away everybody else's garbage. Hey, they can appreciate the rest. Well, okay, so it's not a matter of them making the job a part of salvation. And that's what's happened in the churches. They make the job a part of your salvation. And it isn't. And you incorporate that into the structure. Don't do that. Right. Okay, so then we have a situation, good comment, and I'll just elaborate on that comment, that God is still getting worldwide and other ones for getting the basics and getting people in and getting the things done and getting help. But now there are many people coming out worldwide, and you need someone who understands what's going on so they can help them. Okay? So the comment was made, but so the comment was made back there as we were sitting talking. One of the men mentioned, said, you know, God had to take us out of worldwide so we could come to this to understand about loving God. Okay? Very interesting comment. And in that comment, I think that's what started the chain of thought which led to what we covered here today. And I said, what a shame. I said, let's stop and think about it. What a shame that the worldwide Church of God has gotten itself in such a mess that in order for someone to learn the love of God, they must come into the worldwide Church of God and out of the worldwide Church of God to meet with brethren who truly love each other and love God. I said, what a shame. What a waste of all that is there. And it is a waste. When it comes down to that, you can bring them up so far, but we are not to stay babes. We are to grow up into Christ. We are to come to the... Here, let's go to Ephesians 4. Very, very important part. Ephesians 4. This is what the church is to do and become. Ephesians 4.
pick it up here in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some pastors and evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Though I have on my stationery pastor, I do not consider myself that I want to take any title above pastor, and I'm not taking it as far as taking a title or anything like that, because I don't think pastor is a title. I think it defines what is being done. But as far as anything that I can do, I would say that I consider myself a teacher more than anything else. And I'm certainly not going to appoint myself as an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist. But if these things are functions that are done, that puts it in a little bit different light. But here's the key. For, verse 12, I want you to look at the words very carefully. For the ruling of the government of God over the brethren. Doesn't say that, does it? No. Says for the perfecting of the saints. To what? To make the disciple as the teacher, correct? To teach them, to perfect them. For whom? For God. See? For the work of the ministry, and actually that is for the work of the service. Ministry is a service. For the edifying, which comes from the word to teaching and upbuilding in love. That's what edify means. For the edifying of the body of Christ till we all. Who is all? Whoever are apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and brethren, we all. Good Southern statement. We all, you all, okay? Come into the unity of the faith which comes from God and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And when you take the prerogatives of God to human beings, you destroy the knowledge of the Son of God, don't you? Can you possibly fully comprehend, as in the opening prayer, the sacrifice and the life of Christ is more than we can comprehend? I think we can comprehend a great deal of it, but if we take these prerogatives that belong to God and give them to a man, how can we come to the knowledge of the Son of God? You cannot do that. That is a full, living, vital, powerful statement, isn't it, huh? Okay? And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, or unto a spiritually mature Christian. That's what he's talking about, if you want to put it in today's vernacular. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now that is a huge job, okay? You can't do that when you leverage these things to human beings or to authority or to church or whatever it may be, okay? That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. And isn't that what happens in worldwide? They're tossed to and fro. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. By the authority in the church. Maybe not with every wind of doctrine, but by the authority of the church. Okay? Tossed to and fro. And carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. And cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But isn't that something, that the deception is so clever and sleight that those doing it don't even know that they are doing it? That is something, isn't it, huh? Ooh, that is something. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, which makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, that's what the church needs to be structured to. And the way that is structured to that is by not allowing the structure of administration to interfere with the first commandment of loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul and being, so that you can come to this full knowledge and measure and the stature of Christ. So that, brethren, I think really helps clarify what happens to people. What happens to people when they are in a church and the church leaders leverage to themselves the prerogatives of God.
The overseas offices are Canada, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, Postal Code K6V5V2. For Australia, Biblical Truth Ministries, GPO Box 1574, Sydney, 2001. New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihi, Waihi, 2981. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Wilrow, Wilro, Park, Postal Code 1731. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, Postal Code CM81WZ, United Kingdom.